If we haven't met before, I'm Pastor Bevan and I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my privilege to be able to share with you as we celebrate Easter together. So, you know, I love that video because it asks, what does Easter mean to you? And there were some incredible responses from people who are a part of our church. And, you know, I think it's a great question because maybe Easter means a lot to you. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't mean anything at all. But, you know, for all of us today, can I encourage you to be open, to hear about the hope of Jesus today, to hear about what Easter means to us as a church. You know, for many of us, Easter is more than just a religious event or a long weekend, but we all love a long weekend. A few days off work sorry if you have to work over the long weekend. But, you know, Easter is a moment that we pay particular attention to, and because it was a moment that changed the course for all of humanity. And for many of us, we identify personally with that, you know, what Easter represents. So today is the day that we call Good Friday. Good not because it is good in the way that we say, how are you good, but good because it is holy. Good because we remember the day that Jesus died on a cross for all of us, for all of humanity. And not because the day, the date represents anything specific. You know, Good Friday doesn't carry any inherent specific power on its own, but it represents a moment that is one of the most significant for followers of Jesus. So before we get to that moment, we need to take a short trip back to the beginning. Now, the creation account in Genesis, the first book in the Bible, you know, it shows us not only where we came from, but also what we were created for. Now, Genesis outlines God's original plan for humanity, original plan for all people, which was to be in relationship with him. You know, God always intended for us to have a close and personal relationship with him. And in Genesis, we see that Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. You know, God's original plan for humanity was to care for creation, to live in harmony with each other, and to live in relationship with God, live in a close personal relationship with God. But humanity was given a choice. And I don't know about you, but for me, it can be dangerous when I'm given a choice. Now, humanity was given a choice, and Adam and Eve chose not to listen to God. And in doing so, they created a separation between humanity and God. You know, after that, there was a separation between man and God. You know, us as humans, we try to do things our own way. We try to work it out on our own. You know, we try to make good the wrong things that we have done on our own. You know, we do all this without God, without the Creator. And in doing so, this creates a separation between us and God. But, you know, God's heart for humanity wasn't for it to stay that way. You know, God's heart for humanity wasn't for us to stay separated from him. You know, if I think about it for a moment, you know, if you care for somebody deeply, you'll probably choose to forgive them even when it's hard. You know, I think, you know, this is a very sensitive and touchy subject, but if I think of something that I care about deeply, and it's the Essendon Football Club, it's been a very long 25 now, going on 26 years in my life. But any football followers who their team is just utter garbage? Yes? 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 We're in a rebuilding phase. That's what they tell me. But despite what the last 26 years have looked like, I haven't given up hope. I choose to forgive, even when it's hard. You know, God's heart for us is described in the Bible, and spoiler alert, he went further than we do for our football teams. in John chapter 3:16, says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, God desired to end the separation between us and him so much that he sent Jesus to earth to make a way for us to be forgiven, to make a way for us to be restored into relationship with him. You know, Jesus came to earth. He lived a perfect and sinless life. You know, Jesus did no wrong. He only followed God's perfect plan for him. But then he found himself accused of something that he did not do. And we pick up this account from the Bible in Matthew chapter 27 from verse 27. And it says, "Some of the governor's soldiers took Jesus into their headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. They placed a reed stick in his right hand as a scepter. Then they knelt before him in mockery and taunted, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him and grabbed the stick and struck him on the head with it. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him again. And then they led him away to be crucified. Along the way, they came across a man named Simon who was from Cyrene. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. And they went out to a place called Golgotha. The soldiers gave Jesus wine mixed with bitter gall, but when he had tasted it, he refused to drink it. After they had nailed him to the cross, the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Then they sat around and kept guard as he hung there. A sign was fastened above Jesus' head announcing the charge against him. It read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. The people passing by shouted abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. 'Look at you now,' they yelled at him. 'You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, if you are the Son of God, save yourself and come down from the cross.' The leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders also mocked Jesus. 'He saved others,' they scoffed, 'but he can't save himself. So he is the King of Israel, is he? Let him come down from the cross right now, and we will believe in him. He trusted God, so let God rescue him if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the revolutionaries who were crucified with him ridiculed him in the same way. Then at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. And at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice." I can't say that. But it means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" You know, we read this incredible account from Scripture that paints a picture of where Jesus carried the sins of the world to the cross. You know, it's a lot to take in. It's a lot to read. But this passage illustrates the great lengths that Jesus went to. You know, not just for the people then, but for you and I today. You know, in that moment, Jesus carried the full weight of sin. He carried the full weight of separation from God. You know, in this journey culminated in a moment recorded in John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. So Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill Scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. You know, it is finished. You know, Jesus had fulfilled the work for which he had came to do. The work that he'd come to earth to do. To bear the sins of the world. To bear separation from God and receive the punishment that humanity deserved. So after this, you know, we're left with an empty cross. You know, a moment of suspense. You know, think about a cliffhanger in your favorite TV show. Does anyone remember when you had to huddle around the TV at a specific time on a specific weekday? Because that was the only way to watch TV. Cliffhangers meant a lot more then, I think. Because now we can just click the next episode. But this is a moment of suspense, much like a cliffhanger. You know, for Jesus' followers, you know, I imagine this was a moment of many questions. You know, Jesus was their Savior, and they believed it with everything that they had. They believed that he'd come to rescue them, and this moment was far from what they'd expected would take place. You know, Jesus' body was brought down from the cross, and the cross was empty. Jesus' body was taken to a tomb. So the followers of Jesus are faced with many unknowns. You know, what would happen next? You know, was everything that we'd believed a mistake? You know, have we made a mistake here? You know, in this moment, we could look at it and see what looks like an ending or a conclusion, a moment of finality. You know, was I mistaken to believe in this? Did Jesus fail in his mission? You know, I think there are moments in our lives that can look like this. Moments where we're faced with uncertainty. You know, uncertainty about our own lives, about our future. You know, moments of doubt about God and whether he exists. You know, moments of misplaced hope. Moments of unanswered questions. But we can take heart this morning in knowing that this moment that looked like an ending, that looked like a conclusion, was actually the beginning of a miracle. Come on. A beginning of a miracle for you and I. You know, a moment that would change the course of humanity for all of eternity. Right. You know, the beginning of a pathway to forgiveness, to freedom and relationship with God. You know, for 3 days there was uncertainty. For 3 days there was an empty cross. For 3 days there was unknown, there was doubt. But on the third day we read in Matthew chapter 28 verse 1. It says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. So after 3 days of an empty cross, of unanswered questions, we see the empty tomb. We see that Jesus has risen, that death did not win. You know, what was an empty cross became an empty tomb. You know, where the story was meant to be over, there came another chapter. Where there was a uncertainty, there became confidence. What looked like death became life. What looked like defeat became victory. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. You know, death did not win. Death was defeated. You know, what we see in this moment was the physical steps that Jesus walked for us. The physical steps that Jesus walked for you and I. But in doing so, he opened a pathway for all of humanity to be able to choose to walk into. You know, we may carry doubt. We may carry uncertainty. Lack of understanding. We may have questions, but in Jesus, we can find another chapter to our story. You know, a chapter filled with hope, a chapter filled with joy, filled with confidence in a God who reigns victorious over death, victorious over shame, and desires to be in relationship with us for eternity. Why? Because we are invited to join God in victory. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, this pathway that Jesus walked, it wasn't just a token thing, but it was for us. He did this so that we could live in freedom. You know, the punishment that Jesus received was what we deserved, what you and I deserved. Jesus took our sins, he took my sins, he took your sins, and he bridged the gap for us and did what we couldn't do. You know, he did it so we didn't have to. You know, I think it's easy to look at this account and think, why would Jesus go through this for us? You know, why would Jesus possibly want to go through this for us. But Hebrews 12, chapter 2 says it like this: because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. You know, Jesus endured the cross, the shame, the mockery, the torment, the suffering for us. You know, the joy awaiting Jesus was the future hope for us, that we can have confidence in an eternity with God. So we see the cost for Jesus, but what is the cost for you and I today? Well, we don't earn God's forgiveness. You know, we don't have to earn God's love. We don't have to earn eternal life, because we can't. You know, there's nothing that I could do to possibly earn God's forgiveness. When I look back at all of the wrong things I've done, when I look back at the times I've turned my back on God, you know, there's nothing I could do to possibly earn his forgiveness, because we're all broken. But in him, we can find wholeness. Because Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord." The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. You know, the cost for Jesus was great, but for us, it is simple. You know, a life devoted to him. Now, we read earlier John 3:16. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." You know, what does this mean? This means that when we choose to put our faith in God, when we choose to believe in God, that our eternity is secured, that we receive God's forgiveness and we receive eternal life. You know, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead after 3 days would change the course of my life. You know, not just here on earth, not just for us today, but for eternity, that my eternal destination in heaven with God would be secured. You know, this is for all of us today. This is for all of us today. So as the team come and join me, a question for us is, how do I receive it? How do I receive what God has for me? How do I respond to what Jesus did? Well, we acknowledge that we need God. You know, we believe in Jesus. We make a decision to believe in Jesus, and then we choose to follow him. You know, we look at the sacrifice that Jesus made for each of us, and we say, "God, I want to respond to what you did. I want to respond and I want to receive your forgiveness." You know, for all of us today, regardless of how you found yourself here, we have the opportunity to make that decision for ourselves. To say, "God, I want to know you. God, would you forgive me? God, I want eternal life with you." Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You know, everybody's included in that. Everybody has the opportunity to believe in God. Everyone has the opportunity to receive freedom, to receive grace, and to receive the forgiveness that God offers us. You know, it starts with making a decision to believe, making a declaration of faith to say, "God, you know, I can't do this on my own. God, I need you. I need your help. God, I need your forgiveness. And I ask for your grace." You know, when we do that, when we make that decision, we can have confidence that we have eternity with God. You know, he doesn't need convincing. You know, God doesn't need persuasion. You know, if we think about the lengths that he went to bridge the gap for us, it's freely offered. We don't need to convince him. Although sometimes I think we feel like we need to convince ourselves that we're worthy of it. The truth is that it says in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 8 to 9, "God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. You know, being forgiven by God has nothing to do with what we do. Has nothing to do with how good we are, but it has everything to do with believing in Him. Believing in Him. You know, nobody's gone too far that the power of Jesus' sacrifice cannot save them. You know, that same power literally raised Jesus from the dead. You know, that power in your life can provide you God's forgiveness from whatever it is that you have done. Because Jesus carried it all when He went to the cross. He carried it all. He carried our worst days. He carried our best days. He carried our pride. He carried our shame, our guilt, and He paved a way for us to inherit freedom. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a moment, just as we reflect on this. Because I want to give you an opportunity to respond. I want to give you an opportunity to make this decision for yourself. You know, to choose to accept the forgiveness that God has for us and to walk into eternity with Him. Because when Jesus died on the cross, it looked like a conclusion. But it was a new chapter that made a way for victory. You know, regardless of how you walked in today, how you found yourself here today, whether you're in the lowest of lows right now or maybe you're riding the highs of life. Today is not the end for us. Today is not a conclusion, but today is an opportunity for us to accept a new chapter where we walk into God's victorious future for our lives. So if you would like to respond to God today, if you would like to make that decision to say, God, I believe in You. God, would You save me? I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond, not to me, but to God, and begin a relationship with Him. Now, I'm going to invite you to join me in saying a prayer, one that acknowledges our need of God, that asks for His forgiveness and says sorry for the wrong things we've done. You know, and a prayer that makes a declaration of our belief in Him. Now, it's not about the words that we say. There's no secret formula to this, but it's about the decision of our heart to say, God, I need You. God, I need You. So if you would like to be included in that prayer today, if you would like to respond to Jesus, respond to what He did, maybe for the first time today, or maybe you've done this before, but you need to make this decision again. You know, I'm going to ask you to be bold and raise your hand and to say, I want to be included in this prayer. You know, I want to accept Jesus into my life. You know, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. To say, God, I want to believe in You. You know, once you've raised your hand, you can put it down. Thank You. Thank You. Now, I'm just going to give you one more moment. You know, if God's stirring something in your heart, now, if He's knocking on the door, we can choose to respond to Him now in this moment. So if there's anyone else here today that needs to respond to God, just quickly pop up your hand. Thank You. Thank You. You know, it's an incredible decision that you're making. And, you know, we're going to pray this prayer all together, repeating after me. And the church is going to join in praying it to support you and to encourage you as well. So repeat after me. Dear God, thank You for sending Your Son Jesus to make a way for me to be in relationship with You. I'm sorry for the wrong things I've done, and I ask for Your forgiveness. I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that You raised Him from the dead. I choose today to follow You. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate today for every person who chose to make that decision? We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.